Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Russian economy. The question is, after 6 months of war and sanctions, is it the crater that the Biden administration referred to? No. I welcome Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, who's been my guide on the Russian economy, which is slowly, slowly, slowly deteriorating in a fashion that is not, to my understanding, something that can be recovered from quickly or even over the next decade. I check off a few points that we know about because much of this is non-transparent. Manufacturing of autos and other goods has fallen away behind. In fact, there's reason to believe their automaker, AvtoVAZ, is no longer, once Renault left, they're no longer operating. Airlines have cut down flights to almost zero, and they're cannibalizing parts. Highly educated people have fled the country. I've talked about this. They're in exile, and they despair, because the model of a century ago is, once you flee Russia because of disruption, it is very difficult to return. Retail sales, we're told they're down 10%. Unemployment, we're told that it's 4%, but the workers are being subsidized for now. Michael, a very good evening to you. The GDP is a rough estimate of all goods produced. What I'm hearing in my conversation is that Russia is deteriorating because of the lack of high-end parts, technology, and the technicians to run it. Is that consistent with your information? Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening to you. It is consistent. It all adds up because if you look at all sectors, oil production is down because exports are declining, and natural gas production will be down because they reduce the flow of through the pipelines to Europe. And of course, manufacturing, like you mentioned, manufacturing is down, and it all adds up. And it, the most important thing is it accelerates. So in the second quarter, for which we already have the data, in the second quarter 2022, the decline is 4%. And the third quarter, the Central Bank of Russia projects is 7%. And the fourth quarter will be 8.5% and more, up to 12% decline. The next year, 2.7%, 3% decline. So it is the Great Depression.
The sanctions regime, fact is chiefly is to warn off companies that do business in Russia or are ready to do business with Russia. That's what the sanctions regime is doing. And I use the example of a conversation I've had about the natural gas pipeline, Nord Stream 1, the one that is said to have been cut back to 40% or 20%. The technicians who maintain that natural gas pipeline coming out of the Arctic zone undersea into Germany, they're missing. The Russians hire Halliburton. They hire Baker Hughes. Gazprom is a state policy organization, not a private enterprise to maintain the engineering. And it requires constant attention, especially when you don't run it at full capacity, which they're not. Things go wrong, and they don't have access to the parts to keep it flowing. In addition, the wells themselves are shut down, and that requires constant attention. So, Michael, it's not just the manufacturing is falling apart. The heart of the energy business that they do is not sustainable unless they get access to technicians that are who are no longer in country.
It is correct. And this Nord Stream 1 reduced its flow of natural gas from 55 billion cubic meters last year to 19 cubic meters now. And now it stopped for several days for maintenance. They have problems with all sorts of spare parts. And they have to recall workers who are working there and shift them away. So it's a big problem, oil production, because coal, I would expect some strikes because their coal production is down and coal exports from Russia to the European Union stopped. And coal miners are people who will not take it easily. So there is it is across the board, yes.
I do want to contribute, though, something I've been talking these last days since we talked, Michael, talking to Milano, talking to Berlin, talking to London and Edinburgh. The Russian economy is deteriorating, but the economies of Western Europe are fearful of the events of the future. For example, Great Britain is now reporting 18% or more inflation over the next year. And there's a headline saying they're planning to shut down manufacturing and large electricity users for three winters in a row because they have to ration their electricity. In Berlin, I learned the prices are up 200% and headed to 300%. So as Russia deteriorates, Western Europe is contracting and is in a huddle out of fear of the immediate future. There is no winner in this contest.
It's difficult. Let's separate several sources of energy. One is electricity. They now will use more their nuclear power plants in Germany and elsewhere in Europe, which they wanted to close down. And the coal they stopped buying from Russia. Natural gas, that's the biggest problem for them the next winter in Germany and in the rest of Europe, because it's very difficult to substitute natural gas. They're talking with Canada about liquefied natural gas, but it takes time to ship it from the east coast of Canada to Europe. And oil is substitutable because Saudi Arabia and the Emirates will provide 2.7 million barrels per day starting in December to Europe, which will substitute for Russian oil. The big trouble will be next year. Very few people are talking about it. It's liquid petroleum products, such as diesel fuel. Russia is a major producer, and it's very hard to substitute. So the Europeans are dependent on Russian energy, yes.
And the Russian access to foreign markets, it continues because they're switching their attention to the nations that have not sanctioned them and don't fear sanctions. Now, that works for oil, Michael, as you've taught me, but doesn't work for natural gas, and that's their big money winner. So as Nord Stream 2 either deteriorates or no longer functions adequately, Russia's cut off from its dependence upon foreign investment, isn't it? I mean, are they making up what they're going to lose in natural gas with oil? I don't think so.
No, oil is more expensive than natural gas for them and major. So the ratio is about 3-1 in foreign exchange revenues. Oil brings more than natural gas. But natural gas, they cannot move to China or India or anywhere because they don't produce much of liquefied natural gas. And the rest requires pipelines, and they don't have those pipelines. They cannot increase capacity. Oil, the problem starts in December. Look for the critical date, December the 5th, because that's when the oil embargo from the European Union on Russian oil will start. And on the same date, the G7 announced that there will be a cap on world price, global price of Russian oil. And the Russians already, in advance of this date, they're giving 30% discount to all long-term contracts to Asian countries. So the oil revenues will decline by 30% at least.
And right now, we just have a few seconds left. Is your measure that the Kremlin is informed of this deterioration and it's just bluffing in its threats? They know what's happening in the calendar?
Well, they know what's happening. They know of the calendar. They're trying exactly. That's why they're trying to preempt it by providing incentives for Asian countries to continue to buy Russian oil. They give huge discounts. There is not much they can do about it. They have to give discounts. Yes.
Right. Michael Bernstam, my guide on the deterioration in the Russian economy as Western Europe panics. I understand this is not a one-sided affair. Michael's at the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.